and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts and confess our sins unto God our Father and implore Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you. be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son, Jesus, healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid upon him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my Father.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up.
And I am
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help.
And you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who are pronounced dead.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. As for me, I said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong.
You made your face, I was sustained.
To you, O Lord, I cry.
And to the Lord, I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent.
O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the eighth chapter. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness in your abundance, at the present time, should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I even touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any farther?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Lord.
now heard the word of God, what is it that you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten of not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered in the grave, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Say that you all sing good. And I'm learning that the Southerners don't sing quite as good as you all do. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration is the gospel reading that we just heard. Now you can sit down. He was at his wits' end. He and his wife had done everything they knew how to do for their little daughter. She was only 12 years old, and as soon as it became obvious that there was something wrong, they took her to every physician that they could find. They administered every treatment and every remedy until every last one had been exhausted, and there was no more avenues to pursue. And the doctors had said those words that no parent ever wants to hear a doctor say about their child: there's nothing more that we can do. They were utterly helpless. They were desperate. Can you just imagine it? At first, the bleeding was just the normal monthly bleeding, but she soon realized that this was not normal because it never stopped. For 12 years, as old as the couple's daughter, she had been under the treatment of every available physician, but rather than saying to her, "There's nothing more that we can do," they kept treating her until she spent all that she had. And not only was she no better, it was getting worse. She was utterly helpless. She was desperate. Can you imagine it? Jesus had been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Gentile side, all because there was a man there who was possessed by demons. And he was utterly helpless. He was desperate. "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit," he commanded. And the utterly helpless and desperate man was back again. He was himself. And Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, that is, to the Galilee side, the Jewish side. No sooner does Jesus step on shore than a great crowd gathered around him. They must have been watching the boat appear over the horizon, and as soon as it did, they went and they got and they announced his coming, and all of the people with all of their ill and diseased and demon-possessed friends came. And they were ready when he pulled up on shore. There is this compelling summary statement of Jesus' ministry that St. Matthew records in his gospel, which goes like this: "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." For some reason, it seems as though man's helplessness compels our Lord to compassion. So out of the midst of this great crowd crowding in on Jesus, the spotlight is now focused on just one man. He's the father of that little girl. His name is Jairus, and he's one of the rulers of the synagogue, maybe one of the synagogues in City of Galilee, probably more likely in Capernaum. But as the ruler of the synagogue, he was used to being in control. But when it came to saving his daughter, his little daughter, he was utterly helpless. And helplessness can drive a person to abandon all pride and dignity, even to the point of begging. The ruler of the synagogue, seeing Jesus, fell at his feet and made his desperate plea. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her so that she may be made well and live." Who did Jairus think that this Jesus was? He must have either seen or heard about how Jesus had healed so many simply by the touch of his hand. And that's what he wants this Jesus to do for his little daughter. And quickly, because there's no time to waste, she is at the point of death. And he went with him. Can we just imagine Jairus guiding Jesus through the crowds that are surrounding him in a throng, trying to get him to his home as quickly as possible because his little daughter is at the point of death? If he had flashing lights and a siren, Jairus would have had them on. But as Jairus pushes through the throng saying, "Make room, suddenly Jesus stops. And he starts looking around the crowd and saying, "Who touched me?" In what may be one of the most engaging scenes in Mark's gospel, Jesus' disciples are incredulous. He is so deeply immersed in our humanity that they fail to recognize that he is the Son of God. And they treat him as though he were one of us. You see the crowds pressing in around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?" It was the woman with the flow of blood. She too was aware of all of the people that this man had healed simply by the touch of that incredible hand of his. But she was bloody, which made her unclean. And no clergy would touch an unclean woman for fear that it would make him unclean as well. Seems like the COVID curse has been going on for a long time. But she was helpless and desperate. And in her desperation, she thought, "Well, if he can't touch me, then I'll touch him. And if I touch even his garments, I will be made well." Who did she think this Jesus is? And so she snaked and she pushed and she excused me through the crowd and carefully from behind, Mark says. And with this crowd pressing in on him, he's never even going to know it. She touched his garment. And immediately, the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body as though she was healed of her disease. Her disease. That word in the New Testament is taismatigos, which means the lashings, the flogging. And then simultaneously to her feeling in her body the end of the lashings and the floggings that she had felt for the last 12 years, we are told that Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him. And that's where we want to stop for just a moment. And let that sink in. He perceived in his body that power had gone out from him. We want to ask, is this what it was like for Jesus with every single one of those who were thronged about him and that lined up with their diseases and their demons and their illnesses? And he touched them, and they were cured? Could he feel power, the power going out from him with each and every touch? And is it still, even to this day, even to the last day, the same? How is it for Jesus as he heals all of our diseases of both body and soul? He perceived in himself that power had gone out from him. Is this what it means when Matthew says he had compassion on them? And if it is, then this surely gives a new and much deeper appreciation as to why this Jesus, who is fully man, must also be fully God. For who else but God alone, who is almighty and all-powerful, has that much power to go out from him to restore everyone, the whole world, even the whole creation, but God himself? But I also think that this gives new appreciation to St. Paul's words to the Philippians, where he writes that though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself. One illness, one disease, one demon at a time, one death at a time. He took this woman's lashing and flogging and bleeding onto himself, and he emptied himself just for her. He took this little girl's death onto himself, and he emptied himself just for her, even unto death, even death on a cross. There, hanging from the cross, he is utterly helpless. And in his utter helplessness, he shows us the way to God. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is because Jesus Christ became utterly helpless that he has compassion on the utterly helpless and becomes their helper. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So back to the woman. Once she realizes that she isn't going to get away with her little scheme as anonymously as she had hoped, and knowing what had happened to her, she is now more afraid than she had been. Scenes of last week. In fear and trembling, she came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. In fear and trembling, she said, "Sir, I've been bleeding for 12 years without stop. I've exhausted every last dime I have on treatments and that have never worked, and I was desperate." You got to wonder, what was it that she was so afraid of? That Jesus would be mad at her? That he'd maybe say, "Well, I'm going to take the healing back then. Maybe give her something even worse." What she doesn't yet understand is that it is for this very moment, for her, that he came not just to the other side of the sea, but from heaven to earth. Because he wants to touch, and he wants to be touched by the helpless, so that his power may go out from him, that they may be healed. And he will give his very body in the bread and his very blood in the wine precisely for this reason and to this end, that the harassed and the helpless of every generation to the very end of the age might touch and be touched by him, also that his power may go out of him and they may be healed, touched by him, heard by him. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. And so while all this is going on, while all of this is going on, the clock is ticking on poor Jairus' little daughter. And what must Jairus have been thinking through all of this? But just as he will do again later, when he receives word that his friend Lazarus is at the point of death, Jesus delays. He delays going to this little girl who is at the point of death. And as with Lazarus, he delays too long. His timing is off. He lets the helpless become even more helpless. While he was still speaking to the woman, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Jesus may be able to help the living all right, but really, what can he do for the dead? Once you're dead, you're dead. So let's stop right here. Let's just stop right here for a moment and ask, what would you do if you were Jairus? WWJD, right? What would Jairus do? Would you scold Jesus for delaying and getting distracted by lesser cases than my little daughter? It wasn't like this woman was at the point of death in her bleeding. Would you blame Jesus because if he was really the God that he says that he is, he would never have let this happen? Or would you say just what Martha was taught to say later on? Oh, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. But before Jairus can say anything at all, Jesus speaks to him and says, "Do not fear, only believe." After a bit of ridicule and mocking from the professional mourners, Jesus throws them all out of the house, and he takes the mother and the father and the three disciples into the room where their little daughter was lying. Her father had asked Jesus to lay his hand on her, but Jesus takes the little girl's hand, and he speaks to her as though he can speak all the way into death. He speaks his living word into her dead ears, "Talitha kumi." And by the power that his word has to create everything from nothing, even life out of death, immediately the girl got up and began walking. And her mother and father, what would you do? How would you respond? Her mother and father immediately were overcome with amazement, which doesn't mean that they were jumping up and down for joy. It means that they were overcome with fear and trembling. Here we go again. There's a theme going on in Mark's gospel. You starting to get it? Eventually, they will learn not to fear and only to believe. And they will join their hearts with the psalmists as you have just joined your voice. "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." But for now, he strictly charged them that no one should know this. There will come a day after he has emptied himself for the whole world, that they may tell what the Lord has done for them. But for now, his chief concern seems to be that this little girl hasn't eaten in quite some time, and he told them to give her something to eat. And I think that it's just the same for us. We are utterly helpless. We are desperate. But our Lord has crossed over, and he comes to us and he says, "Do not fear, only believe. Now come and eat." Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. that as the Lord, our help, has brought us into the Holy Christian Church and made Christ our shield from every enemy, so he would preserve us in faith until at last he brings us out of this world into resurrection forevermore. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that God would give us generous hearts to supply the saints from our abundance, seeing that Christ has made us rich by his humble poverty. For our preachers, that they may serve for the sake of Christ's call, not earthly gain. And for all Christians who have received excellence in faith, speech, knowledge, and every gift of God's word, that they may provide richly for the preaching of the gospel and the work of the church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For every Christian home, that our gracious Lord would bestow on them his never-ending compassion, that he would turn parents in kindness to their children, that he would make children ready in obedience and love toward their parents and each other. For the young, that they would learn discipline and trust in God, and for fathers, that they would not exasperate their children, but be examples of devotion to the fear and instruction of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the safety and blessing of all who travel, especially the Gregory family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our governing authorities, that peace and order would be preserved in our nation. For our president and governor, our military and police and other civil servants, and for a spirit of unity and cooperation among the people of our land and the nations of the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need, that as God did not turn aside the bold request of Jairus, nor the timid faith of the woman, so he would drive away our fears and give us believing faith. For the sick and suffering, especially Randy, Rosemary, Gary, George, Jesse, Nancy McTee, John, Sandra, Phyllis, Lucy, Ed, Elisha, Nancy, Karen, and Rachel. And for those who mourn, especially those who mourn for Gary Cormier, that they would know and believe Christ will awaken the dead on the last day as if from a sleep, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that they may seek worthily the medicine of immortality given in the Lord's Supper, believing that as Christ on earth always used his divine powers as a man to heal and save, so here in the Blessed Sacrament, he is bodily present to deliver his healing and saving power to faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
These and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now may this body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in this one true faith, the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you.